It's good to be back in the Lord's house this morning. Sure is good to be saved, amen?
Amen.
If you're here and you're saved, you're glad of it, I tell you that much. Calvary, what a blessing it was last night to be a part of the 10th year celebration as your pastor. And I passed that milestone with, I don't know, it seemed like just a vapor. I mean, it seemed like I just walked in the church doors just a couple weeks ago, and here it is, already been 10 years. And to put that thing in perspective, it's like I told some of you, the 16-year-olds now were six whenever I came here. And where's my six-year-olds? Where's my six-year-old? I don't even know if I've got any. I got some six-year-old back there. There's one raising her hand. Little Willow, six. But that's over here's one. You ain't six, are you? Samuel, are you six?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, whenever I came here, that means that the 16-year-olds were that size. And that's hard to believe. What time just flies. It waits on none of us, but what a blessing it's been. We've watched the church grow steadily, not just in number, but also spiritually. I'll tell you what, I've grieved with you. I've laughed with you. I've buried your children. I've buried your parents. I've married your children. It's been a blessing to be a part of Calvary Baptist Church for the past 10 years. And I wouldn't trade it for the world or anything that the world would have to offer me. My hope and my prayer can be and continues to be that as I preached a message here one time, not on my watch was the name of the message. I don't want to mess anything up while I'm here. I just want to be God's servant for this day and for this time. And Brother Philman guarded this little flock for the better part of 40 years, and I sure don't want to mess anything up. It's hard to believe a church of this stature and in the community, the substance that this church has its hand in, the missions, the work, the love, the support, that's only had two pastors in 50 years. That's, it's a steadfast testimony of what y'all are doing. I say two, there's actually been three, but anyway, God has just had his hand upon Calvary, and don't know how to even bring this next part up. The love gift that you gave me, church, I feel so unworthy to receive that, and I even mentioned in my Sunday school class, you let me pray about that because I don't even feel like I'm supposed to have it. I opened the box and I probably sounded like a bumbling idiot last night simply because of the fact that when I opened it up, the sheer numbers on that check that was written and stuffed in that little box was, it just blew me away. And I don't feel like I'm supposed to take it. I'll tell you what I'm going to do with it. I've already talked to Brother Clayton. Brother Clayton says, well, take it and put it back in the offering plate if you want to, whatever you want to do with it. He said it was given in love, and how you receive it, that too will be up to you. But I'll let you know what I'm going to do. I don't feel like I'm supposed to have it. I don't want that to become a yoke around my neck. I don't want it to become a burden to me. But Brother Clayton was talking about, and this is the kind of church we've got, he was talking about buying me a vehicle. And that tells you the numbers that you're talking about. So what did I do? I did a preemptive strike. I went out and bought my own vehicle prior to Brother Clayton doing that or bringing it up to the church to do that. So they didn't know what to do. But listen, church, just be in your pew and pray for me. That's all I want. I just want you to pray for me. I do. I love you. I appreciate every gift, everything you ever do for me. God knows my heart. And, you know, you can call it what you want to, but I'd rather have your prayers than your money. I promise you that much. But anyway, we're going to get into the Word of God this morning. We'll be in the book of Luke, chapter number 22, but also in the book of Daniel, chapter number... paperclips flew off. Chapter number six, chapter number seven in the book of Daniel, but then also Luke 22. It is good to be here this morning. I look around, I saw a few visitors here, and I trust that the Lord's already made you welcome because truly you are welcome. This is the Lord's house. It's not mine. And it doesn't belong to one person. It is the Lord's, and we'll treat it as such. We'll try to be respectful of it. Let me ask you a question. Does the devil ever bother any of y'all? Raise your hand if the devil's ever bothered you. I'm telling you what, I'd put both of them up. He's a deceiver. He's not just a deceiver. He is a liar. He's the father of all lies. There's no truth in him. I promise you that there is no truth in him. So if something seems to be going a certain way if it's not of God, you can't go to the Bible and put your finger on it. You need to ask where that thing's coming from. It's probably coming from Satan. And I'm telling you, there is a demonic force in the world today. There's a satanic presence and a satanic attack against every single one of us. It's always been that way, and it always will be. Since Lucifer was cast out, every single one of us are going to have to contend with that. You're going to have to deal with it the same as I deal with it. But the Bible says that if we would submit ourselves unto the Lord, and that's the key right there, it's getting under, submitting and getting under the submission unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, then we could resist the devil and he'd have to flee from it. But if you're not submitted, you're trying to resist in your own power, and that's not going to work well for you, I'll tell you that much. But today's message, I don't know if it's to help somebody that's been on the pew forever. Maybe it's for a visitor. Maybe it's just for this preacher that's going to bring the message today. But I want you to understand something, that our enemy is not your neighbor. Our enemy is not your wife. Your enemy's not your children. Your enemy's not sitting on a pew with you. The enemy and your adversary is the devil himself. It's Satan himself. The Bible said, Brother Woody, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And that's the scripture. Preachers, is that right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You can't see what we fight. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We wrestle against the spiritual wickedness and the darkness of the land. And boy, it's all around us. And if you don't feel it from time to time, once in a while, and I'm glad it's not this way every time, when I see y'all coming here and y'all are excited about being here, and Brother Woody's up here saying, mind the Lord and just trust the Lord and mind the Lord. Man, I like that, Brother Tam, but sometimes I come in here and it's almost as if somebody brought Satan in with them. There's something that comes in and it just kind of hovers around here, and it's hard for me to preach. It's hard for the choir to sing. It's hard for anybody to have anything accomplished in the spirit whenever the devil's hanging around with us. You need to come in here prayed up. You say, well, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm undone without God. Well, you're in a great place to get saved. That's why it's up for us that are already saved to come in ready to worship and ready to praise the Lord. The message I'm going to put is wearing out God's children. Simply wearing out God's children. That's what Satan's doing today. He's wearing out God's children. And I'm not talking about wearing me out with a switch. Mama used to do that, and she did it with the best of them. Daddy used to do it with a belt, and he could do it with the best of them. I'm not talking about getting worn out that way. Bless God, Robbie, if God needs to, he can wear you out. He'll take you to the woodshed of grace, and he knows how to chasten his children. And that chastisement, it doesn't seem pleasant for the moment, but he will do that. But what I'm talking about today is actually utterly being worn down. I mean frustrated. Just taken to a place where you just don't feel presence anymore. You don't feel the Holy Spirit of God anymore. You don't feel His presence anymore. And if you can't feel His presence, bless God, that's a terrible, terrible place for you to dwell in as a Christian. It's a terrible place. So as we stand in reverence to reading God's Word, we're going to read the scriptures in the book of Luke to start with. And then we're going to go back over to the book of Daniel in chapter number 7 for just a moment. The reason I brought in New Testament and Old Testament, we live in a New Testament church age. Amen? We live in the dispensation of grace. So Brother BJ, there's grace for whatever your trial is. Whatever your need is, there's grace there. I brought a message here Wednesday night and used an illustration just to kind of recap it. Basically, it was stacked up sin. It was sin compounded. Bless God, if you don't take care of the original sin, the early sin in your life, the devil's going to use that. And that's going to become an instrument against you, and he's going to browbeat you with that. But I don't know what that sin is for you. It's different for every single one of us. But bless God, get that sin atoned for, get it accounted for, get it under the blood, get it washed away, and get that thing cleaned up that you don't have that sword always sticking in you. Nathan said, David, the sword is in your house, and it remained. Bless God, we need to get like David did in the 51st division of Psalm and confess it all to the Lord and get it under the blood, get it taken care of. So here we are in the book of Luke, chapter number 22 for just a few minutes, and this is a little discourse between our Lord Jesus Christ and Simon Peter, and we'll pick up the reading in verse number 31. And for those that come to the men's conference just several years ago, I believe it was Preacher Clarence Sexton and Brother Philip Moore and those boys had preached a message. And the title or the theme of that year, I believe it was Help for the Sifted Saints. Do y'all remember that message or remember that theme a few years back at the men's conference? It was called Help for the Sifted Saints. And that would work well here too, because I want to help you. I mean, we've been worn out by the devil long enough. I want some help. I need some help. You need some help. But anyway, the Bible says, and the Lord was telling Simon Peter in that 22nd chapter of Luke, in verse number 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail thee not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now, still standing, flip back over to the book of Daniel. If you found your place in Daniel, chapter number 7, it's not too far back, maybe about 50 pages in your Bible. Daniel chapter number 7. And I believe I'll just keep your finger in both of those places, but I believe we'll pull up and park in Daniel for just a little while before we go back over to the book of Luke. If you found your place in Daniel, say amen. Amen. We could go back to 7:1 and read about these four beasts that the Lord hath shown unto Daniel. And he talks about the Ancient of Days, and then he talks about those four beasts and how that they would become a representative of kings. And then it goes right into the interpretation of the fourth beast in the 23rd verse, down through verse number 28, or the latter part of that. But I'm going to read verse number 23, maybe through 28. The Bible said, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be fourth kingdom upon the earth, and shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of his kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. Now I want you to hear verse number 25. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, that they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is everlasting kingdom. And all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto, it is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations or my thoughts much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. I want to go back and get that 25th verse again. It said that he shall speak great things. This is speaking of a satanic king. This is speaking of a one that's being used of Satan himself. This is speaking of one that is wholly given over to idolatry. This is one that's given over to the oppression of Satan to come in. And bless God, we have been living under a satanic government for many, many years. Whether you choose to believe that or not, we have been. And they change laws to fit them rather than to fit Christianity. And even in the past few weeks, you're going to see that push to remove the little crosses. I mean, everybody in here probably got one of these little things that I have given them over time. They keep that in their pocket. Brother Kenny, they're trying now to remove them out of veterans cemeteries. They're trying to remove them out of the public place. They're removing them to where nobody will have to look at one of these things in America anymore. Now that to me is strange. But it's not as strange as what we will do and sit back and allow that to happen. That's crazy. But it said, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change the times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. I'm asking Brother Tam to bless our scripture reading, and then we're going to go on and have our service. Hey man, as you're being seated even now, we opened up with Simon Peter, and we know that the prophecy, wasn't really prophecy, it's spoken word, but I called it prophecy because the Lord Jesus Christ was looking forward, and he gave a prophetic verse to Simon Peter saying, you're going to deny me 3 times before the sun comes up. But anyway, in that particular time, Simon Peter could not have known the things that would befall him. There's no way. He said, no, not so, Lord. He said, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. Oh, not me. I'm going to go with you, Lord, all the way. It doesn't matter what comes up against you, Lord. If it comes up against you, it comes up against me. And he said, I'll go with you to prison if that's what it takes. And then ultimately he said, I will go with you unto death. And we know what happened. We know that the story that as it unfolds in the Bible, exactly as the Lord said it would happen, it happened, it unfolded that way. But I want to look at that earlier verse where it said that, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you Now let me tell you, Brother Tim, if you belong to God and you do, you're in His keep. And Satan has no power over you. The Lord even told Pilate, you have no power over me except that it was given you from above. And that's just the way that this thing works. Bless God, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. So bless God, if you're a child of the King, we need to kick that booger out and make him walk his own walk. But bless God, just because you think you're spiritual and just because you think that you're something, bless God, you might want to go back and read the book of Job, because the Bible said, and the first thing that I want to bring up will be that there are going to be trials. There will be trials for you. There will be trials for me. And these trials that we go through may have just been instigated by Almighty God. Yes. They may have been instigated by God and then handed over for Satan's work. The Bible said that the Lord asked Satan whenever Satan came before God, and he said, have you considered my servant Job? God was the one that brought Job into that equation. It was God that said, have you tried Lewis? It's God that said, have you tried Brother Scott? It was God that said, have you tried Brother John? He said, wait a minute. Oh, God, you've got a hedge about him. I can't get to him. Well, bless God, God does have a hedge about me. He's got a hedge about you. Bless God, he's got a hedge about this church. But, Robbie, how are we going to fare? How are we going to come out whenever the hedge comes down? I'm telling you, brother, I'm no power for him. Amen. He's got power, but we try to diminish that power. There are satanic forces. There are demons. And, bless God, we will undergo trials, Brother Tam. We're going to have them. I'll have a struggle tomorrow. You'll have a struggle next week. You're going to have children that will be wayward. You're going to have all the things going on. And, bless God, each and every one of us need to understand that, that there are going to be these things that we're going to have to contend with. Bump that air down a couple. I see about 400 people fanning on both sides. Go ahead. You keep fanning. You're not distracting me. I just don't want you to be uncomfortable. We could preach on hell and turn it up, but we're not going to do that today. I just want you to see this. Has anybody been tried? Anybody had a trial? Anybody ever been through that period where you just didn't see the end? The tunnel was dark, Brother Woody, and maybe there was a bend in the tunnel and you couldn't see the light at the end of it. You didn't know where the end was at, and you just kept on pressing, Brother Greg, and you hoped that it was just around the next bend. And then you got around the next bend and there was no light. It just didn't seem like it was ever going to end. The trial continued and continued and continued, and Brother Woody, you just kept on pressing on. Yeah. Well, you didn't walk that alone. If you're a child of God, you did not walk that alone. The Bible said in that book of Daniel that the government itself, the oppression of a governmental system, the oppression of a king, the oppression of a nation, the oppression of a community. Brother Danny, it would be that, and it would utterly wear out the saints. Well, let me tell you, if they wear us down, Brother Chris, what are they going to do? Run over us after they wear us down? Are they going to wear us over after we're ground to powder? Are they going to wear us down? These forces, Brother Kenny, are they going to wear us down and have some implementation of some ungodly satanic cause or device forced down on us? I don't know. But I do know this. I know God's still in control. God's still in control. We give the devil credit, Brother Greg, when it's not due him. All power belongs unto God. Am I right or wrong? All power in heaven and earth belongs to him, Brother Woody. Amen. But yet we sit around here all times, that booger, that devil's bothering me. He bothers me too, Brother John. I'm preaching to myself this morning. But the first thing is to consider that, yes, there will be trials. There will become tribulations. The Bible says, yea. What does yea mean? What's it mean in the Greek? What's it mean in the Hebrew? What's yea mean? Yes, in the affirmative. Yea, all ye that live godly. Every one of us, Brother Preston. Yea, all ye that live godly in Christ Jesus, whether it's the pastor's household or whether it's this church or whether she was an individual, all ye that live godly in Christ Jesus shall do what? What's that, Brother Woody? Suffer persecution. It's inevitable. It's coming to every household in here. It's coming not only to every household, it's coming to every marriage. It's not just coming to every marriage, it's coming to every individual. It's coming between parents and children and parents. It's coming between pastor and congregation and pastor and deacons and pastor. And it goes on and on and on. And it's nothing more than a ploy and a trick of Satan himself to try us to see what we're made of. Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you. Do y'all know the sifting process? Y'all are vaguely familiar with the sifting process. Becky, do you know the sifting process? Take the corn of wheat. The Bible says a corn of wheat. I'm not talking about corn and wheat. That's what it's called, a grain of wheat or a corn of wheat. And it grows up tall and straight. but then it hangs over. Brother Woody, the old chaff just stands tall and erect, but that wheat will get heavy and hang over. And then the threshers come and they thresh the wheat. They take the wheat. And then when the wheat's completely dried out, they put it in the blankets or whatever, these threshing folds. And then they'll take those things, and as they beat it, and they beat it, Brother Woody, they're trying to separate the corn of the wheat, the grain, the actual usable part of that seed of wheat from the chaff, from that's no good. Oh, the tares will continue to grow, but the chaff needs to be separated. And that sifting process is what separates those two. Well, he's saying, Simon, that's what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to beat you. He wants to grind you down to powder. He wants to get you to a point of uselessness. And he wants to keep on whipping you and beating you. And that scripture in Daniel says, Brother Scott, that he wants to wear out the saints of the living God. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to wear us out, wear us down. He wants to sift us. And I'm telling you, he'll start off by doing it, by putting you right in the middle of the greatest trial that you can't see a way out of. Trials will come. Testings will happen. But doesn't mean that's the end. So we'll keep praying. We'll keep praying. I look around and I think about the trials. Susan, honey, I know that you're going through a trial. You've got a sick husband, and I know that's a trial that's now set before you. And others in here have undergone different treatments. Brother Woody, most recently, having some kind of treatments for his lymphoma. Woody, that's just a trial that you're going to go through. Well, Scott, I'm telling you, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that light is Jesus Christ. Are we all still good? We've all admitted we've got trials. We've all admitted we've been attacked by Satan and we're troubled. I'll go over to the book of Hebrews just a moment. The second point is going to be found in the book of Hebrews. And it'll be in Hebrews chapter number 4 just for a minute. Hebrews chapter 4. Thank God for Jesus. The second point that I'm going to tell you that Satan's going to attack us with is through various temptations. You said temptation is not sin, preacher. Thank you for acknowledging that. Temptation is not sin. But Brother John, it can lead to sin if you're not very, very careful. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Have we not got a great high priest? The Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, what? Tempted. The Bible said he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he was without sin. You can go over into the Bible and you can find a place in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 10. The Bible says that wherefore let a man think that he standeth, take heed lest he fall, for there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Bless God, anybody here ever tempted? Bless God, every one of us have temptations thrust in front of us. Where are the temptations? It's the same thing that he was tempted with, and you can go back and read that through three of the Gospels that tells about the temptation of Jesus Christ when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. It was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those things come to every single one of us, and the devil hits us where our weak spot is at. He knows my weakness, he knows your weakness, and he comes right to that very weak spot. And that's where he tempts you. If it's money, he tempts you with money. If it's other different devices, he'll get you right where he knows to get you at. He surely will, Brother John. He knows what John. He knows you when nobody else is around you. That's called integrity. Integrity is who you are when nobody's watching. Integrity is that you are when nobody sees it and nobody's there to pat you on the back or rub you the right way and say, that was a good job, Greg. But Satan knows how to make you pop the 100 to put back in the offering plate. He knows how to put the pretty girl in your path. He knows how to do the things that he does to tempt you, whether it be drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, sexual perversions. He knows every single thing about us. And with that temptation is part of the grinding process, to grind you down, to sift you, to wear you out. It's not just through the trials, and it's not just through temptation. We're going to keep trucking down through here. I would have to go all the way back over to the book of Exodus. And I want you to see this because I believe that there's somebody in here that's been so close to doing something so great for my great God. But yet they get to that point of doing it and then they just back out or they quit. Brother Woody, we got that way as a church many times. We got right here where we're at today. Miss Jan, we got right here to the precipice of something really, really good. Chris, you can feel it. Almighty God, as great as He is about ready to do something. Miss Jan, God is blessing and God is, He's all powerful and we're right on that verge of something great. And then all of a sudden, here comes Satan. That's what he does. It seems like it always happens. And it's not just here. It's everywhere that people would go and try to do something for God. And Brother Kenny, if we don't believe God will get, the devil will get in the church and God will have to get out of the church, we just need to look around at some of the neighboring churches. I'm not putting them down, but God, I'm praying for them. I want to see everybody successful because we're on the same team. But Satan gets in. Pride and personalities and all these other things start creeping into the heart of the man in the church house. Next thing you know, Brother Tan, they're sifted. Poor old church got four cars in the parking lot. The place at one time held 100. It's troublesome. But I want you to see that and hope that during your sifting, be it you or you or you or me or whoever, that you'll remember whose you are. Not who you are. BJ, if I said, you're BJ Ford, you're sitting in a good spot today because you're going to get picked on all day. You're Woody Dow. You're the wife of one of our deacons. You know, we could really start thinking highly of ourselves. I want us to think like in the book of Exodus here where we're at. Do you believe that you could make a great pastor? Well, do you think that you can make a great evangelist, a great teacher, a great Sunday school superintendent? You're in a good place to be used. Amen. Brother Varun, you think you could be a great, huh? You're the least of the least. Look what God said in chapter number 3, verse number 11. Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go? You said, what is that? It goes back to verse number 10. He said, I'm going to send you. Now, let's go back. If God sends you, are you willing to go? See, Satan wants to wear you down with tasks that you think you can't achieve. Moses, go in there and read it for yourself. Look what he says. He says, I want you to go down to Pharaoh's land. He said, who in the world am I going to tell him sent me? Now, that's back up in verse number 12. He said, certainly I will be with thee, and thou shalt be a token with me. Look what it says in verse number 13. Moses said unto God, behold, when I go to the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall going to say, what's his name? He said, just tell me I am sent you. But look what happens over in verse number 10 of the fourth chapter. Brother Chris, you think you could be a great evangelist, a great orator of the land? You could become the next Billy Graham? Do you think any of that? Brother Preacher, could you do that? Troy, could you do it? Yeah, you could. And you could. Moses said these words in chapter number 4, in verse number 10. Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, I'm slow of speech and I'm a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who made your mouth? Who made man's mouth? And who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have I not the Lord? What he's saying is this. When Satan says you can't, you ought to say, I can. When Satan says you won't, you should say, I will, only in the Lord. The Bible said, take no thought of tomorrow, but if you do that, say, if it's the Lord's will that I will do that tomorrow or do this or that. Brother Tim, you can do anything as long as that Bible doesn't disqualify you from doing that. There's nothing hindering you. So who is hindering you? It's Satan. Do you remember the scripture whenever Paul said, I would have come to you, but Satan hath hindered me? Satan hindered my pathway to you. He's going to do that to every one of us. How's he going to do it? By putting these trials in your life. He's going to put temptations before you. He's going to do all these things, Brother Scott. He's going to put on you a task that you said, I can't do that. That's plumb crazy. To think that Lewis could become a great pastor or a preacher or a missionary. There's people in here with gifts that we've not even had told. Chad Spears, missionary to Uganda, with his wife in tow as a medical missionary to help them with some drugs that would help their cholera or their dysentery or their this or their that. You said, oh, that'd be scary, wouldn't it? But you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Satan's not going to want anything accomplished. He's going to do everything that he can to keep you sifted. He's going to keep you worn out. He's going to keep you defeated, discouraged, depressed. But God's wanting to bless you. Scott Miller, missionary to the tech world. Woohoo! The book of Luke. I know I'm going to a lot of places. You said, preacher, why are you going all over the place? What did the Bible tell me to teach, to preach? Thank you. In the book of Luke, in chapter number 18, the Bible says in verse number 24, when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, speaking of that young ruler, that he said, go and sell what you've got, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. He says these words, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you say, what's that about, preacher? Go back and read what I started with. Verse number 18 said, a certain ruler asked him, said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother. And he said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. And Jesus heard these things and he said, yet lackest thou one thing. I want you to see what the one thing was. It was riches. Look what he said. Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. I'm going to tell you one of the sifting processes, and it's even for me. It's even for every one of us. It's not just a trial that we might go through. Brother Charles, it's not just some temptation that Satan might put in front of me. It's not just that, Brother Tam. It might be some task that I said, I can't do that. And God says, yes, you can, and yes, you will. I bless God, but it could be some treasure that's out there that I'm not willing to let go of, and I'm not willing to get rid of. And bless God, that treasure will build up in my heart rather than being built up in heaven like the Scripture said that it should be and could be, but that treasure could be besetting me, and Satan could use that thing to continue to grind me and sift me and wear me out. It's happened over and over and over. You said, I don't believe treasure's ever hurt a man of God. You never heard the name Jim Baker, have you? You've never seen some of the things that go on in the televangelist world, have you? Some of those things, they live in multi-million-dollar houses and palaces and have servants galore. There was a missionary that this church actually supported for probably 20 or 30 years. And Brother Clayton, where are you at back there, Brother Clayton? You remember this? When I came here 10 years ago, we went through the missions giving. We said, who have we heard from? Who haven't we heard from? Who's on our agenda and who's not on our agenda? Brother Tam, that was some that had never told us how many souls were being saved, what they were doing with the money. And we just looked at the missions giving. And if we took $50 off the field there, we put it over here. If you'll remember that, we took off from some and we gave to Larry Adams. We went from 100 on Larry Adams up to 250. We went from 250 on Larry Key up to 500. We started doing some things with our mission. We weren't taking money off the field. We were just appropriating in different places. Clayton, you remember the letter the pastor got? Got a pastor from one of the missionaries on the field. Man, just basically laid me out saying, who do you think you are as the new pastor? That church has supported us for all these years, and who are you? I go back to Brother Danny. I said, Danny, we didn't want to hurt anybody. I said, Danny, do me a favor. At that time, Brother Danny had the books. Brother Danny, find out what his missionary support is. I want the median income of the country he's living in. Find out what the people make. Find out what he's doing with the money. You remember that, Brother Danny? Danny comes back and said, the man's making about $87,000 a year, whatever it was. I'm just using numbers now. Don't hold me to that because I don't want to be lying in the pulpit. He said, he's making like $80,000 or $100,000. It was way up there. I said, okay, that's his support. What does the average family in that country make? They make about $3,800 a year. Okay, he's making so much more that the man's got servants. He's got gardeners and landscapers. He's got servants that mop and clean and do and do and do and do and do. And he's coming down on me. Let me tell you what, treasures will corrupt a man right down to the very core of who he is. And you better believe me, Satan will use that. He'll use that, Brother Woody, to sift you and sift me. He'll continue to use that. What did Jesus say? He said, how hardly can a man enter heaven when he's clinging on to these riches? There's the verse right before you. He said, and when Jesus saw that, let me go back and get number 22. Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, distribute to the poor, and shall have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Which brings me up to the book of Acts, chapter number 24. I've hit somebody in here today with this. I'm going back to, you go to the book of Acts, chapter 24. Daniel 7 and 25 says that he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. That's wearing out God's children. It says, shall think to change the times and the laws, and they shall be given into the hand until a time, and times and the dividing of time. I want to go to the last thing before we close, and that is this. Satan will use this against you and me and every single one of us in this place today. And that is that of time. Miss Cindy sings a song. I probably should have even asked her to get it. It didn't hit me until, well, just now. And I don't know if you would even remember to have her sing that. She'd probably kill me after church. But she sings a song. She sang it ever since we've been married. It's called Plenty of Time. That's a lie straight out of hell. Brother John, that's a lie hatched straight out of the pits of the regions of the damned. That's where Satan wants you to think. You can put it off. Put it off. Just do it later. Don't do it now. Put it off. Here we are in the 24th chapter of the book of Acts. I want you to see, Brother Tam, how holy God is. God has given these men, Pilate and Festus and Felix and Agrippa and Drusilla and all these people, he has given them a firm witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have heard straight in their face how good God was and what God did. And they told him of old how that God would move. They give stories about how that Moses would raise the brazen serpent. They told stories of old. And yet here they are standing before. Here's Paul standing before Felix. He's already been. If you were to go over there, you could find out how that Agrippa was almost persuaded. Verse number 24 of the 24th chapter of the book of Acts. It said, and after certain days, when Felix and his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Y'all hear from Preacher Mark. You hear from Preacher Chris or Preacher Troy or Preacher Kenny. They hear from us. Can you imagine hearing from Paul? But here's Paul standing before the magistrates of his day, those that held his future in their hand. And it said that he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. I mean, Brother Chris, Paul got it all. He said, you're not a righteous person, Mr. Felix, and your wife's not a righteous person. I can almost hear him saying, go back into the Old Testament writing and find out that your righteousness is as filthy rags. You're not a righteous person. So the Bible said that he heard of righteous, of temperance, and then it says of also of judgment to come. I have a feeling, Brother Kipper, he said, hell's going to be full of people that reject Almighty God. He said, we believe in God, we are Jews. He said, I'm talking about the Son of God, whom y'all crucified, whom y'all hung on a cross, who lay in a barred tomb for 3 days and then defeated that grave, defeated the death that held him, and now is seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's the one I'm talking about, Mr. Felix. And it said he heard of that. And because he heard of the righteous, the temperance, and the judgment, look what the Bible said. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Take your King James Bible right now. Anybody in the pews from front to back, find me where Felix got another occasion. Preacher, where's it at? Show me, Troy, you're a preacher. Chris, find it in there. Y'all are not even opening your Bibles. It's just not there. Anybody else in here got a reasonable response as to what happened to Felix and Drusilla? Can you show me, Varun, where they finally sent for Paul yet again? Maybe he was on another journey, or maybe he was bound, headed toward this jail or coming from that jail, and said, "Bring him back by here again. We need to hear from him one more time." You said he trembled. Brother Whitty, what was that trembling? That was conviction. That was conviction of the highest level. And what did he do, Brother Greg? He said, "Not right now." He said, "I'm going to send you away at this time." Look what it says in verse number 26. He hoped that money should have been given him, that he might loose him. There you go, bring back some treasures. There's time and treasures. "Wherefore sent for him the oftener, communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festa came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews the pleasure, left Paul," what, "bound." Leave him in there. Leave him in jail. You ever read where he got on his face before a holy God? Do you know what Satan's desire is, Brother Chris, to sift you? He wants to wear us out, wear us down. It's Jesus Christ's hope is to lift us up, to exalt you in due time, to lift you up, to help you. He takes no pleasure in you being beat down. He takes no pleasure in you staying lost, if you're here lost today. So what do you do about it? What are you going to do about your sifting? Go to the latter part of where I started at in the book of Luke. The Bible says, "Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Now, I preach a whole message, Brother Scott, about the sifting of the saints, the wearing out of the saints. If I left y'all right there, Brother Tim, guess what? I'm going to kick you out of here just as sifted as you walked in. Worn out. No hope. Discouraged. Depressed. Defeated. Undone. Still lost. But what's the next part of that that follows up that? It's none other than Jesus Christ himself saying, "But I prayed for thee." Brother Jody, if you've got Jesus praying for you, do you believe in the Trinity of the Godhead? You believe in, I know you do. Then you've got God on your side. You've got the Holy Spirit living in you. And Brother Tam, you got the Holy Spirit. You got God the Son running interference for you. You got the Holy Spirit speaking to you, working in you. And then you pray straight to Jesus Christ. You go to God through the Son. "No man cometh unto the Father except by me." And where's he at now, Brother Greg? He's there at the right hand of God the Father. The Bible said, what was he doing while he's there? Playing twiddly wings? He got him a fidget spinner. He's up there. He don't know what he's doing. He's just going to sit there and play with his toy. No, Brother John, he's there to be an advocate, a mediator, an interceder for you. Why? Because you're sifted. Why? Because you're worn out. Why? Because I stay worn out. Satan keeps us always right there at that. Do you realize once in a while, Brother Woody, we get in here and we just, whoa. You know what it is? We finally, somebody gets out from under that burden. And when somebody gets out from under that load, man, they just got to let it fly. But how often do we get there? Half a dozen times a year? How often, Brother Lewis, do we finally get, to the bottom of self and get to the top of Jesus where he just has preeminence? Very rare, isn't it? As we stand all over the house, don't let Satan sell you a lie and tell you that you've got plenty of time. Brother Kenny, I've asked you to preach tonight, but do you realize that between tonight and right now at this very moment, we might not even be back for you to preach? If it's the Lord's will, you will. Brother, what are we going to do if the Lord comes back in about 10 minutes or 2 minutes? I'm out of here. Troy, you go ahead and preach tonight. We're gone. Chris, go ahead and handle it. We're gone. You're gone too? Robbie, you going to be here tonight? You're gone. Based on what? Amen. Miss Macy, come over to the piano. Oh, she's already at the piano. Brother Scott, Brother Lewis. Folks, if you're sifted, are you sifted? Are you worn out? Are you just about worn out? Christ prayed for you. Look what he said. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He said, but I prayed for you that all thy faith fail not. And then he said, when thou art converted, when you get strengthened, he said, then you strengthen your brethren. That's what my hope is, that you'll be strengthened today. I don't want anybody leaving here today feeling like just beat down. Bless God, my hope is in Jesus Christ, Tam. I get to go to heaven one day, not because of my righteousness or my goodness, Brother Chris, but because of him. How great is that? How great is that, preacher, that we get to go be with him? He promised us that in his word. Brother Tammy said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Do you know that word is a hadar? That's a bride chamber. Bless God, we are the bride of Christ. He is the bridegroom. One day when he gets my bride chamber made, bless God, we don't know in Jewish faith when that groom's coming back. We just know the dowry was paid. The price was paid. He went away, Brother Woody, Amen. To make a hadar, a bride chamber. And in an hour that the bride don't even know, he's coming back. In an hour that you think not, he's coming back. He's going to claim you. He told us that. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place. He said, I will come again. That's a promise straight from the word of God. He's coming back. Let's go out of here shouting instead of going out of here whimpering and whining like we've been beat down. You ever been sifted?
Yes, sir.
Hey man, you have been. I have been. You ever felt like you just been sifted? Worn out? We all have. Today's the day to get your batteries recharged. Get a little filling. Get a little help. There is help for the hopeless today. There's strength for those of us that are sifted. As we sing, Brother Lewis. 165, 165.